Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from LA Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kid show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.laghosts.com.
On a ritual night, you return to me. Through the eastern doorway of eternity, like the one I was, like the one I would be, from the world without and the world within me. Your eyes of sorrow, you had held my case till I chose to follow to the world without and the world within me. Lost where I knew my soul would be. Thank you.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
All right, well, welcome back to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Radio. My name is Troy Taylor, and here in the studio tonight we have our guests, Scott and Doug. Oh, I'm sorry. They're not the guests. They're the hosts. I'm the guest. We've taken over the show. So, and Bonnie's with us as well. So, actually, I should probably let them do what they're supposed to be doing, and I will shut up and let them do it. So,
that didn't work
hi,
out.
Guys.
That didn't work out quite the way we thought it was, but that was
personally,
cool, though.
Personally, I like taking a break.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was, you know, it's few and far between where we don't have to go, hi, you're listening to Ghostly Talk. This is Scott L.
And this is Doug.
You know, like, because we are really into these big radio voice things.
I was gonna hum a little music or something too, but I thought, well, no, maybe I better not.
We were coming out of a break, so yeah, that worked out well. You know, of course, everybody, this is the
Troy Taylor.
Troy Taylor, just eminent author and, you know, key holder of all knowledge of ghost hunting.
And
the key holder. That is the best paranormal group title I've ever heard.
Key holder
better
of
than
all
president,
knowledge ghost hunting.
Better than president, better than founder, better
key
than
holder.
Vice president,
yes.
Key holder.
I like that. If there was a
paranormal author.
Well, no, but after all that, I don't think there's anything else I can say. So, I think I'll just tell you good night. And I always love doing the show. I get a lot of crap from people. Every time I do a show, then I get like 10 emails from people, well, would you do my show? And it's like, it's like I don't have enough time in the day to do all the shows. So I kind of like to just pick my favorites, and you guys are definitely one of my favorites. I really enjoy doing it, and I love hanging out with you guys. I only go to conferences so I can hang out with you guys.
The only reason I go to conferences is because Troy is there, or now, of course, Jeff Belanger.
Jeff Belanger, or
because he cooked for me.
How about even better than that, Troy? If it's actually Troy's conference.
Well, you know that's actually.
Well, I'm only having the conference so that you guys can come. So, after 10 years, I said, you know what? I don't think we're going to do 11 years. I don't think we're going to do one next year. And I thought, you know what though? If I could get Doug and Scott to come, it would be worth it. So we're going to have one this year. So
I'm
just kidding.
So. I'm so glad you threw this together.
Thanks for it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we came up with it last week, decided to do this.
I'm telling you, Troy, first of all, I have to say, Bonnie and I and Sean and Tom and, of course, Sabrina, we all went to the Weird Winter event that you threw in February. That's where I personally fell in love with the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Oh, yeah, that place is awesome. The very first conference we did in 97, we did it at the Lincoln. And then I moved out of the area. And when I came back, I said, there's no place else I'd want to do the conference other than the Lincoln. I fell in love with the place when I was like 10, because that was the place that my family, that's where we always went to the movies back when it was still an operating movie theater. And, I've loved the place ever since. And, it was a bad deal. It was closed down for years. And now, the renovations that have been done, you guys came like right after the first phase of the renovations had been completed, the first phase. And you guys, not having been there before, it was amazing to see the difference. You guys couldn't compare it to anything, but you could see that a lot of work had been done. And the work is ongoing, but the theater has been really just a jewel. Indicator for since 1916. So I mean it's been around for quite a while. So we love the place. So I'm always happy to do whatever we can do there as far as ghost related stuff goes, because it really tends to help the theater out. So.
And it's so true. This particular venue is first of all haunted. As a matter of fact, we have Bonnie on the phone. She can attest to it. Was there not music and footsteps and things?
Doors opening and lights falling, and yes,
everything was just going down.
Well, the theater has been, it's been active. It's been haunted, regarded as haunted since, like, the 1920s. But, ever since this renovation has been done, things have really, really picked up. I mean, there's been people who've been involved with theater for quite a few years, you know, board members and, you know, people who have been, you know, kind of spearheading the renovation project. And, you know, a lot of them will always, you know, they like us because we do a lot of stuff for the theater and we, you know, we always bring people in. But, you know, they're not really into the ghost stuff. I mean, these are just average people. But ever since the renovations have been done, I've had people who I've known for years have come up to me and say, Troy, you know, I've never really been into the ghost stuff, but I got to tell you, there's some weird stuff going on here. And so the theater has been, you know, more and more active over the last year, year and a half than I've ever seen it in all the years that I've been involved with it. And that's been quite a while.
And it's a perfect spot to host the Haunted America Conference 2007 because it's haunted history, because of your attachment to it, and because of my attachment to it. I mean, like I said, I walked in and just fell in love with the place.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely perfect venue, and there's other folks out there who are hopefully not just like me, but similar enough to where they're going to walk into this place and go, wow, this is really history. This is really an amazing place. And then, of course, the Haunted America Conference that you've put together is just, I mean, it's nonstop, I think. Incredible.
I want to reiterate a point you just made there, though, too, Doug. You're just talking about the place itself.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's not just the place that makes the conference. It's the place, it's the speakers, and it's the people
who
attend.
Well, yeah, but
the whole event.
The place.
But talk about a great foundation for a conference. The place is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, and you guys were there for the Weird Winter event, and unfortunately we got hammered by snow that weekend, and probably about half the attendees that had signed up weren't able to make it because of the weather. But this event that's coming up here next weekend from tonight will be our largest conference so far ever. This place is going to be jammed with ghost enthusiasts from all over the country. I mean, we've always had people coming from, you know, Texas and California and New York and stuff to the conferences, but never in numbers like this. So it's really, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we've been doing it for, this is our 11th year, and I think that people realize, well, they're not going anywhere, or they must be doing something right, or they wouldn't still be doing it. And, you know, if I'm going to pick one to go to, I'm going to go to this one. And, you know, we're lucky in that, because I think that, you know, with a great location, with, you know, past experience, and with, we've got great speakers this year, great events, and like you said, we've got something going nonstop, pretty much from Friday night all the way through Saturday night. It's gonna be a really good time.
Well,
I'm really excited.
It's been an interesting year so far as far as the conferences are concerned, and
yeah.
I think that's where you guys.
Well, it's been a bittersweet year.
Well,
it's been
fun, of course.
Year.
Yeah, that's a given.
Because there were a lot of successful conferences.
Oh, yeah.
And there were some conferences that had to get canceled because of lack
of
interest, which is amazing to me because. But you're right, though, Troy. If people were scanning down the list of conferences, because I've been guilty of it too, I've listed, even on our website, we've listed the conferences that we'll be attending. And
right.
So if you're scanning down that list, what are you going to pick? One that's been around for 11 years or one that, you know, just started up?
And see, I've
got both in me. I'm always anxious for the new thing. What someone else's take is on something, but also I love the stability and you've got really long arms because you reached out, you got a list of speakers that just is incredible, you know, and these are people who are obviously extremely respectable and very, very knowledgeable and can actually, you know, speak to folks, including me, and have me actually learn something.
A couple of them we just saw last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Vince and Jeff. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
It was awesome.
I was actually going to name those two as being the disreputable ones that I have on the list, but I won't.
No. That's pretty much me.
Well, we can tell you stories. After all, we ghost hunted with them last weekend. So we'll fill you in.
No, it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff cooked. He cooked. He barbecued for us.
All, yeah. Yeah, he was the one spearheaded the project. He was just out there throwing around. It was
awesome. Burgers and dogs all over the place. It was fantastic. And
he's probably one of the funniest guys I've ever met. I think. I mean, he really is. And he's just one of those guys that's just sharp. You know, it's always got, you know, something funny to say, you know, and he doesn't even have to think about it. And guys like that just crack me up. And he's a good guy. He really is.
Well, that's what you need. That's what you need. I mean, in what we're doing here, I mean, we've been through all the scenarios with different personality types. And what we kind of stick by the idea of take the work seriously, but don't take yourself that seriously. I think Jeff is a clear. He cut the mold on that, I think.
Yeah.
And then Vince, of course, I was standing in a group chatting, and they asked something about sonar imaging, and I go, I know exactly who we need to ask. And I did. I ran. I hollered over. I don't run. I hollered over.
You hobbled over.
And I said, Vince, you got to come over here and answer a question. Because, you know, the ghost tech and science thing, he's got it down. So, I mean, it was a really great mix. And what's interesting is at your conference, at the Haunted America conference at the Lincoln Theater, everybody in your list is going to be available. I mean, that's the coolest thing about Weird Winter is we just walked up and started saying, you know, hey, to all the speakers and all the guests and everybody who was there, you just walk up and say, hey, how's it going? You know?
Yeah, hey, because honestly, you know what, if you're one of those people who, you know, is standoffish or doesn't want to talk to people or thinks you're too good to just talk to anybody, I don't want you at my conference as a speaker. Seriously. I mean, really, because I, you know, everybody that's on that list is somebody I consider a friend. You know, I'm not going to invite people that have a bad reputation or jerks to people. I was at a conference a number of years ago, when Kelly Weaver was still doing her conferences in Pennsylvania, and I'm not going to mention this person's name. Don't worry,
no problem.
You won't have to edit anything out. But this particular person refused to talk to anybody. Had like a taped announcement as they were coming on to the stage. They refused to allow anyone to give them an intro. Instead, they had a recording that they played with, like, scary music on it, and then went on to, in like that, you know, remember, Bonnie, remember the old racetrack, the US 30 drag strip up near Chicago, and they always had the racetrack announcements on WLS that would always go, you know, Sunday, 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 you remember those? This is pretty much what this guy had for his announce, or this person, I'm sorry, had for his announcement. It was like, now, you know, on stage, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, and so, you know, who wants people like that as speakers? You know, I mean, I want people who are going to be, you know, as an homage to Harry Price, if it's not entertaining, it's not interesting to the public.
Exactly.
You know, it can be informative. You can learn a lot from it. But if it's not entertaining, who cares? You know, that's the problem. So, you know, I always want people who are going to be at our conferences, I want them to be, you know, people who are entertaining. There's not a single person on that list who doesn't personally entertain me. And I don't think you guys, I don't know if you know Alan Brown. And I always hesitate to list him as Professor Alan Brown, so it makes him sound stuffy. He's like the funniest guy. I mean, but he's super knowledgeable, knows his stuff. But he's a really funny, entertaining guy. You got Vince, you got Jeff, you got John Weaver, who's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And Kelly, you know, Kelly, who's always great. And Derek Bartlett, who is, you know, not only a fantastic speaker, but one of my best friends, you know. And so, you know, I want to put together a list, and I'm already working on next year, you know. I'm already working on next year's list.
Derek's one of those guys.
They got to be good, you know.
Derek's one of those unsung heroes that we haven't had on Ghostly Talk yet. He's one of those people that we've seen at a number of conferences. We bumped into him and we've talked and like, hey, how you doing? You know, we've had a great time together. But it's just one of those things. That it's okay. Write it down. We have to get a hold of Derek because
And we just never.
I don't understand it. He does this awesome stuff, and but he does so much of it behind the scenes, or he doesn't do it on a big stage. And you know, people will go to me and they'll say, you know, I'm not sure I know who that is. And I'll go, oh, you remember? He's the guy who was drinking with me at Gettysburg. And they go, oh, yeah. So that's, you know, then they go, oh, yeah, Derek, you know. So because that's, unfortunately, that's kind of what we're known for. A couple of years ago, there was an ugly incident that took place in Alton during our conference weekend that included Derek and I. Well, I won't go into any detail. Let's just say there are still people who come up to me and go, "Hey, remember that?" Yeah, I remember. Trust me. Well, actually, I don't remember. That's
I remember being told about it the next day.
Yeah, that's more like it. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, he's a great guy and he's a great speaker, and you know, I'm hoping that this, you know, him finally getting up on in a big, you know, venue like this will really, you know, make people realize what a great speaker he is. And get him on some stuff in the future because he's great to have around.
Well,
so.
We're
looking forward to it. I know we are.
You know who else I'm looking forward to?
Who?
Len and Luke. Because first of all, at Weird Winter, Bonnie, you were wearing the Red Wings jersey, right?
The only decent jersey you can wear.
Oh, yeah, Luke, you know, Luke is like a rabid hockey fan, so you got to be careful with Luke. He plays hockey, so, yeah.
He didn't like me very much.
Yeah, he did. There was definitely some tension between them. But when Len and Luke went up and talked, and they're AGS members, right?
Yeah.
American Ghost Society members.
Yeah.
And they also do the Alton tours, right?
Yeah, they do. Len and Luke both do the Alton tours, and Len also does the tours in Lebanon, which is a small town near Alton. We do some tours there, too. But, yeah, they're a pair.
I'm telling you, they're
hilarious.
They certainly are, and they were hilarious when they were up there. I had such a good time listening to them and tell their stories, and I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. So the entire cast is just an incredible thing that you've put together.
And
it doesn't stop. I mean, what's not in our list is Kelly Weaver, although that sold out, isn't it? The seance.
Well, we still actually have, there's a handful of seats for the seance. I actually, and this is, I don't know if this was a good idea or not, but originally I had marked Kelly's seance as sold out, but I held back like 40 seats to kind of entice people who are, the last-minute procrastinators.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened them back up, which made some people mad. But we do actually have a handful of those spots left. For the seance. We're going to do a few more. We're actually not going to do too many more people for the conference itself because you know how that lobby is there at the Lincoln, Doug? I'm afraid that you get everybody coming to the conference, even at this point, into the lobby at once, it's going to be chaos. So at some point, we're going to have to probably cut it off if our numbers grow much higher. But right now, we still have space available, and we do still have a few spots for the conference. But you know, I think I mentioned this at the Weird Winter. I don't think we've ever talked about it on the show, but I think I talked about it at Weird Winter, why I asked Kelly to come and do a seance. Did I talk about that?
I don't think you talked about it on the air, but I remember standing there on stage at the Lincoln Theater.
Well, I want to hear it.
And you told
oh,
me,
I will.
You
I'll
told
tell, yeah.
me this story, and my jaw was on the floor. I was just like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is the most fascinating thing. I've met Kelly, you know, and a fascinating, fascinating lady. But I've never seen her like do the seance thing, you know, or any of the stuff that she does.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have, you know, out on in the battlefields of Gettysburg and all the stuff that she's famous for.
Oh yeah.
And it just made your story made me just want to like you know leap through time and attend all these different things that she's.
Well,
done.
We had her out in October for Halloween of 2004. I brought her to Decatur. I wasn't living in Decatur at the time, but I wanted to bring her to the Lincoln Theater because, of course, you know what seance is famous at Halloween. Of course, Houdini seances. And
definitely.
Houdini had played the Lincoln Theater, and I thought, well, that's a kind of a cool connection. We'll do something. Do something fun that night, and you know, and I'll bring Kelly in because I mean, you know, I'm hit and miss on a lot of psychics. Kelly is one of a handful that I've really seen in action, even prior to this, that I really thought, wow, you know, she's really got something. There's something going on with her. So I brought Kelly out to do this seance, and we set up a table on stage. You know, we had a handful of people who were there at the table, and Kelly started the seance. And honestly, even at that point was still a little leery about any kind of psychic type stuff. I mean, that was at the point where a lot of the TV psychics were starting to kind of take off again. And, mm-hmm. you know, being a student of magic and that kind of thing, I've seen the cold read trick so many times, you know, on television and stuff, and seen it done by magicians that I just wasn't buying, you know, don't normally buy it. But she wasn't standing on stage going, you know, oh, you know, I sense there's a guy in the audience, his name, you know, there's an older man, his name starts with J, and oh, it's my dad, and you know, that crap.
Yeah.
She was standing on stage going things like, okay, there's a woman in the audience, her name is Ann, and your mother, whose name was Rose, is trying to get in touch with you. And I mean, this was not like vague stuff. This was like really coming with names and everything. And people in the audience, honestly, were freaking out because she was hitting it every time. Well, that wasn't, to me, that was interesting and it was cool. But the weirdest thing was there were several of us, Lynn Adams was, and John Winterbauer, we're both up on stage videotaping the seance. I was sitting up on the stage. And there were so many times that while we were all sitting there with the video cameras and watching this from the side, the wings of the stage, that we would feel like these cold waves of air just like pass by us, like radiating out from the middle of the stage where the table was set up. And that was weird. But the weirdest thing of all was when all of a sudden, in the middle of the seance, from out of thin air, a bunch of white feathers just appeared above the table where the seance was taking place. And I'm not making this up. We got it on videotape. There were probably 15 of us who saw it happen. These white feathers. Lynn still has one. These white feathers just appeared out of the air and just floated down and landed in the middle of the table.
Slap that puppy up on YouTube, man. I want to see
yeah,
that.
I'll have to see. I know Lynn still has it. Bill Alting, who does all of our audio stuff, he put it on DVD at one time. I'll see if he's still got it.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, this was an amazing event. I mean, it was just very cool. And, you know, when we finally got back to bringing the conference back to the Lincoln Theater, I thought, you know what would really make, you know, really make the final evening, you know, yeah, we can do a ghost hunt, which we'll do, but what would really be cool is to get Kelly in to do another seance. And so she agreed, and it's coming out. We actually had it planned for Friday night. And this is just to give you an idea of her legitimacy. We had it planned for Friday night, and she said, Troy, listen, I'm going to be traveling, and there's no way that I will have the energy in me to be able to do it Friday night. Could we switch it to Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, absolutely. So that way she could rest all day on Saturday and then do the seance. So, I mean, you know, somebody who just come in, some phony that came in, wanted, you know, could have just, you know, gotten up and did a shtick and forget it. But that to me just made her even seem more credible in my eyes anyway. So it's gonna be very cool.
Well, there,
I guarantee it.
I agree.
These after hours events also there's a couple other things going on too besides that.
Yeah, we did a ghost hunt. We did a ghost hunt on Friday night and one on Saturday night at the theater, kind of an after hours thing. But man, those filled up like within weeks of us opening the conference. In fact, we had one and had to add another one. And then I'm doing a version of the Haunted Decatur tour that we've actually been doing those since 1994. So this is my 13th year of Haunted Decatur tours.
Ooh, lucky 13.
Yeah. So this is the 13th year. And so we're going to have some fun with that. Because a lot of these people who are coming to the conference, you know, not that many of them were around when we started doing these 11 years ago. So, I mean, we had a lot of new people. So a lot of people will see some of these haunted places for the first time. So I'm excited about doing that, too. That's going to be fun. So.
Well, this is my first time going there. Everybody else has been there
right.
except
this
for me.
This will be your first
right.
time
that's
at the
right.
haunted
it
theater.
Is, Scott, that's right. I forgot about that.
Can I recommend your seating while you're there?
I think I already know about my seating.
Balcony.
Balcony. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. I think that's actually a good idea, Bonnie. I will sit up in the balcony by myself.
Well, you can sit up there by yourself, but if you want good seats, honestly, the best seats in the house are the mezzanine.
Oh, really?
The little miniature balcony that's right above the auditorium and below the big balcony. When that was put in Decatur didn't have any other. We had like 30 theaters in Decatur when the Lincoln was built. Mm-hmm. Now we have two. But when that was put in, there was nothing else like it in town. And the mezzanine is, in my opinion, the coolest seats in the house.
Those are like for royalty or something.
We should check those out then. We should put like
give me
a
feather and one of those extensions for my cigarette. And an eye thing. And
opera glasses.
Eye thing.
And bonbons.
Sure. And bonbons.
Of course.
You gotta give me a little cabana boy to like keep me cool. Yeah, I'm down with that. Okay, fine.
Well, the mezzanine is the best seats to see. But the most active seats, if you want to be bothered by the otherworldly visitors in the theater, are not in the balcony. They are right on the main floor of the auditorium.
Really?
That's what, I don't know why. That seems to be the area of the theater that seems to be most active as far as people sitting there and being touched and had their hair pulled and their clothing tugged on and tapped on the shoulder. And
I was tapped on the back of the neck.
Right on the main floor, and I don't know why, but over the years that, you know, in the past, that's the area that people have heard a lot of footsteps. That's an area of the theater that a lot of performers, some of whom don't even know the theater is supposed to be haunted, have freaked out because they've seen the seats out in the auditorium going up and down by themselves. I had a buddy of mine who is a musician, and quite a few years ago, we were doing a fundraiser for the theater, and he was working with a band that were rehearsing, and a lot of them, a guy had come in from out of town and was kind of putting together this band, and it was a lot of local musicians, and many of whom really didn't play together on a regular basis, so they were trying to get their sets down. Mm-hmm. And he told me, and this was not a guy who was into ghost stuff, it just happened to be a friend of mine, and he told me that they were on the stage and they were rehearsing and they had been like flubbing up one song, you know, the song over and over and over again.
It sounds
and
like ghost talk.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And he said he was sitting, you know, was standing at the edge of the stage, and he looked out into the auditorium, and they'd gone through, you know, just a little bit of the song, and it got messed up again, and hold it, and they shut everything down. He said while he was standing there, he happened to look out into the auditorium, and about 10 rows back, he saw one of the seats was down, like somebody was sitting in it. But he thought, it's probably nothing because, I mean, it's an old theater, some of the seats are broken or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said that a few seconds after that passed through his mind, all of a sudden the seat, the flat of the seat opened, you know, flipped back up again like somebody had just gotten up. And he swears he heard somebody go and make this, like, disgusted noise. And then, you know, like they walked out of the theater. Like somebody was watching them, and they just screwed up over and over again, and they finally just got disgusted and left. And he said, and it was the weirdest thing, and he swore it really happened. So, you know, it was right there in the auditorium. And I really have found the auditorium seems to be one of the most active spots. So, you know, if you're listening and you're coming to the conference, you may want to take out a seat down there on the main floor somewhere, because if you want to be bothered, you know, during the conference, that's a good place to sit.
If you want to, yeah, and if you want the best seats in the house, they're the mezzanine.
Go for the mezzanine.
I already got those reserved.
That'll leave me and Bonnie up at the balcony.
I'm going straight to the balcony.
Yeah, because that's where, when Linda Godfrey was speaking at Weird Winter?
Yeah.
The balcony just went insane. The balcony was just the hangout for otherworldly happenings. Yeah. And they even tried to get everyone's attention. I mean, they threw a light to the ground. Well, I don't know if they did it, but gravity did at least.
Someone did, yeah.
The light crashed, and everybody heard that. Even I heard that.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the front row.
I remember that, yeah.
And then the music was heard, the footsteps and the door opening and closing without the physical door actually opening or closing. You know, the sounds of all this stuff was just going all on up in the balcony.
Yeah.
And, people
hold people to witness it.
Was that only when Linda was speaking?
That's what I had heard, you know, was that's when that was so active, is when she was on stage.
It's like she just was the rallying cry for and I have to say, out of, you know, I really did, and I got to meet her. I was so excited because she, you know, she of course wrote Weird Michigan, and
right.
So we got to meet her, and then we got to talk to her later on Ghostly Talk. But nice, I have nice. To say, I wanted to meet her so bad, and then. She just, like, during her speech, evidently the balcony went wild. So I'm wondering if, I'm wondering who's going to make the balcony or the mezzanine or the main floor go wild in this lift.
Let's put money on it. How do we put money on this one?
I think we need a jar for it, and we'll be like,
yeah.
Okay. The most paranormal activity will happen when, and you just pick one of these, fill in the blank, and lay the odds out.
Yep. How much money do you want to put on this? 20 a head?
20 cents?
No, 20 cents? I'll take that action. That's about what I'm working
on. Let's do a Diet Pepsi versus a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. You're
all right. You know what? You're on.
All right.
You're on. We'll discuss this
and then we'll pick one. Okay. I like that.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
My name is Badge. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.tarascreen.org, and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a scar gouge right across it. I believe there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Chris from Crossroads Paranormal Radio. Tune in to Mike and I every Sunday night at 10 Eastern, live on Blog Talk Radio. Join us at www.cprshow.com as we discuss various paranormal topics and interview members of the paranormal community. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community.
Kicking your can. Superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
Example, I mean, I don't know how you put together a conference, first of all, in just a single year, but you do it, and you do it every year. But you're also obviously one of the most well-known
you do this writing thing, too.
Yeah, you write these books. And
just a mere 50 books.
it's incredible. and yet this year we're treated to another. There's another one out. What's your latest project?
Well, the new book that's out, and first let me address this as I always have to do, the whole 50 books and how do you write so many books and how do you do this? And okay, number one, sleep is overrated. Number two,
caffeine.
Number two, the conferences and the tour companies and all that stuff is the icing on the cake for me. It's not my main thing. It's the other thing that I do that I like to do that is a lot of fun. And you got to remember that with the tour stuff, I don't do all that myself. I got a staff that handles a lot of that kind of stuff. So when we have 7 tour companies that are going, it's not like I'm going to 7 different cities every weekend and doing tours. Mm-hmm. So let me get that misconception out of the way. And number three, the book thing is that you have to remember that the book thing is actually my day job.
And that's
that is my job, and I love it. I mean, it's not even like work, I mean, obviously, because I love doing it so much. But I keep like 4 projects going at the same time. And then I finish the one that I'm most enthused about at the time. So, I mean, that's when you give me like a deadline or you tell me you have to do this next, that's when I start to kind of freak out. And what's funny about that is that Mark and Mark from Weird New Jersey, I've done several projects with them. I mean, I did Weird U.S. and I did Weird Illinois, and I just finished up Weird Indiana, and Weird Virginia just came out. And I've been a part of all of those books. And Mark knows that you have to be careful about giving me a deadline. He gives me these very vague times to get things done, and that way I always get them done. Because when you tell me you have to have it done at a time, yeah, I freak out. And then I'm like, yeah, I can't work on that. I have absolutely – even though it was the one I was – really excited about, if you give me a date it has to be done, yeah, I have a really tough time with that. So that's my thing. But the new project that just came out has been 3 years in the making, because every 3 years I do a new edition of the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook.
Yes.
Because as soon as the new one comes out, it's up to date for a while. But after 3 years, 3 years is kind of like I look at as the point where a lot of things have changed. And let me tell you, between 2004 and 2007, a lot of stuff changed as far as ghost hunting goes. And all of that, in my opinion, has to be addressed. So what I do is every 3 years I throw out the old book and completely rewrite it. And, yeah, a lot of stuff does stay, you know, the same. But on the other hand, even some of the basic stuff changes, you know, in 3 years. So I really feel like that it has to be updated and it has to be, you know, put out again with new information in it and updated information. So that's what I did. June the 1st was the release date for the new 2007 edition of the Ghost Hunters Guidebook, which is, you know, I tried to put the book together as kind of a manual when I started it as a how-to guide for ghost hunters. And honestly, I don't know from 1997, and I should add, this is the 10th anniversary edition of the guidebook, too. Since 1997, I have no idea how many copies of that book has sold. I mean, but we've sold a lot of them. And I have a lot of people who may not read any other book that I ever write that happens to have, will come up to me with this, you know, dog-eared, nasty, dirty-looking, filthy-looking copy of the Ghost Hunters Guidebook, ask me to sign it. And actually, I'd rather with that book. Now, any of my other books, if you treat them that way, I'm going to be angry. No, I'm kidding. But the guidebook, the better, the more used, the better. Now, you bring up to me a copy of the guidebook that looks like the spine's never been cracked, then I know you haven't read it. So, you know, I'm not that excited about it. But you bring me up one that looks like it's been run over by a truck, I know you read the baby. Because, you know, the idea of the guidebook has never been, and, you know, I get crap from people who say, oh, wow, you put out a guidebook, there aren't any experts, you know, and I'll go, well, then you obviously didn't read the book. Because that's one of the things I say 100 times. There are no experts when it comes to this stuff. My idea with the guidebook in the first place and my continuing idea with the guidebook is for you to take the book and use it and adapt it to make it work for you. If there's 10 points about ghost hunting out of the book and you find two of them interesting and there's something that you can use as a ghost hunter, then I've served my purpose. You know, the book has done what I want it to do because I really want people to be able to take it and use it for themselves. I mean, there aren't any experts, but the idea behind the book was to go, you know, here's all the stuff I screwed up, you know, and here I'm presenting it for you, how I screwed it up, so that you don't screw it up the same way, you know. So hopefully that people tell me that the book appeals to them, I'm glad. You know, I really enjoy the book. I enjoy putting together new editions of it. And every time I try to put stuff in the book that's really going to tick people off.
Ooh, now, I know that, yeah. I like to be very,
each time there's at least a couple of segments that are very controversial. And I do that on purpose because I want to get people thinking. But on the other hand, while I don't say there are any experts, I'm not really going to suffer stupidity. Very lightly.
Right.
You know, when this has been hammered into your head over a 10-year period and you still don't get the fact that running around in the cemetery just randomly taking pictures, that's not ghost hunting. You know, if you haven't gotten that by now, you're never going to get it. So you might as well just quit. so, you know, I mean, not to be mean,
But it's the truth.
One section of the book, finally, I've had enough of the orbs. Don't ever show me another orb. Don't talk to me about orbs. I mean, in the section about orbs that I have in the book, it's just the name of it is just Orbs Debunked, you know, once and for all. And I state in the very first paragraph, while I never say that anything in this book is the last word on something, that I am absolutely an expert on anything, I've got one thing that I can say, enough with the orbs already.
Then
I spend the next, like, 10 pages explaining why, that we don't need to talk about orbs anymore. They are a relic of the middle 1990s and bad digital cameras. And then a lot of people who got really confused about dust and pollen and camera flashes. And I really just, you know, enough with the orbs. You know, enough with the orbs.
We were watching over the weekend when we were at Moundsville Penitentiary just this past weekend. Brendan Skeen set up his DVR,
it's not a
multiplexer, but I always forget the name of it. But it's a multi-cam unit. He ran the camera into the basement below us where we had the station set up at, and people were just tromping through the hallway, right?
And, oh,
and
yeah,
I was
sure.
loving it. I was watching. I was watching all the orbs pop up, and I was cracking up laughing at that.
Ghost.
We're gonna have a little something for you. Speaking of orbs, it's funny you brought that up, Troy, because my girlfriend Amber Rose, you've met her before, and Tom Mott, our other dear friend who works with the show here, they're working on a little thing with. It's actually in press as we speak right now, and we're bringing them special for the event for the 2007 Haunted America Conference actually, and we're gonna let you see them too, Troy. I think you're gonna enjoy them. I'm gonna leave it at that as a surprise.
Yeah,
because you're gonna crack up when you see them. You're gonna die when you see them.
It is good.
It's very, very good. And it has to do with orbs. That's all I'll say.
Good.
I'm on the same page with that. I want to listen and see what anybody has to show as far as their evidence is concerned.
Sure.
But I think it's starting to really be hammered down now in the whole community or whatever you want to call it. That okay, look, this orb thing. Let's move on from here.
Let's work on the apparitions.
Let's work
now.
On stuff that's a little bit more complex.
I want to see apparitions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
But when you're new, though.
I just decided that this edition of the guidebook would take on orbs. I also took on another recent fad.
Spirit provocation.
pardon me?
Spirit provocation.
Well, I do take that on, but not in detail, but
okay.
I just dismiss it completely. I like to call it ghost baiting.
Oh, ghost baiting. I like that.
And I just dismiss it and say, if you're doing it, you don't have any business doing this.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But the other thing that I kind of take on, and I won't get into, like, great detail here, but I use a historical comparison to the 1950s to now, and that is, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, I'm not trying to pick on any one in particular, but I'm just gonna call it as a vague term, spirit boxes, and you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna show how in the 1950s the exact same thing was being done. And it was exposed as fraud. And then I'm going into detail about the construction of one of the boxes that a friend of mine built for me and exactly how we got that to work that had nothing to do with ghosts.
I cannot wait.
And all I'm saying is that I'm not saying that these boxes are fraudulent, but I'm telling you that and I can state this firsthand for a fact, the potential for fraud is there. So it's hard for me to take it seriously when I know how easy it is to fake them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I being vague, but not, you know, I don't want to get into great detail because I'm really not pointing fingers at anyone in particular because
mm-hmm.
I know there are a lot of them that are popping up now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really just looking at the trend of these boxes and showing how easy it is to do them. For the, you know, even slightly technical person to put them together. And,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I know,
and
I
that's
understand.
The thing,
and that's
no
the thing, and I've said this to other folks when they show me an interesting photo or here's an interesting EVP or something like that. And one of the things that I say is that, for example, I there was a photo that happened to have a raindrop in it. And a raindrop is very, very obvious. It's got a tail going down. So it looks like the raindrop is actually moving up,
mm-hmm.
and it's bright, bright white. Now, that's a raindrop in a photo, period.
Mm-hmm.
It just is nothing
right.
else. It is a raindrop. Go out in the rain, take a picture. You'll
right,
see what I'm
right.
talking about. Anyway.
Out, Mr. Photo Expert here.
So what happens is it had a raindrop in it, but it also had another artifact in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So while the other artifact was fascinating, and I'm like, oh, wow, that is so incredible, the problem with this particular photo is that there's a raindrop in it, and that
you're going to be eaten alive.
What's going to happen is you're going to get eaten alive because you were obviously out in some kind of weather that had
precipitation.
So everybody else is going to just out of hand dismiss this absolutely fascinating artifact. But you know what can you do? So you got to keep ghost hunting, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I mean,
right.
That's the lesson. Keep ghost hunting. Same thing with the spirit boxes. You know, the potential's there. I mean, yeah, there might be a couple that are, like, spot on, right? But the potentials there, so they're just going to have to be dismissed. It's unfortunate.
Right. Well, they're just hard to take seriously. And, you know, as long as and you know what, it's the same way with a lot of EVP too. You know, when proper protocols aren't taken, when the recording's being done, and by proper protocols I mean, you know, setting up, you know, monitoring equipment and everything to show that nothing was being done to the recorder at the time that the voice was recorded. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
right, yeah.
You know, and instead it's somebody that's, oh, yeah, I was walking through the basement and I have this voice on the tape. And, you know, it's scary as hell. And, you know, it is scary and it's probably something genuine. But, you know, what are you going to do with it?
My thing was,
not evidence because it's not, you know. You know what
right,
I mean?
Because it wasn't done under control
right,
situation.
Right, yeah. Right.
My thing with EVPs, you know, from past experience, and we've gotten a few here that have come through the haunted winery, people who want to check stuff out, and I have no problem saying it on the air. I've gotten samples from people, and one thing I always say about EVP on this show, look, if you're going to give me a sample of an EVP, do not give me a one-second clip.
I want to hear whatever.
That tells me nothing about what you were doing. You better stretch it out to 20 or 30 seconds, and we'll work from there. Another thing, too, that I've gotten from people is, you know, these real ominous messages such as, I'm going to kill you, and stuff. And I'm like, okay. All right,
that's a bit much.
It's just a bit much. You know, it's the Hollywood mentality that I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? What is up? How they pull this one off?
Right, exactly.
So your book is going to spark debates and raise a lot of interest throughout hundreds.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, it's probably not going to spark debate because the problem is, it'd be great if it did, but the problem is that. And recently, I've noticed a trend that people are either one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
They're either open to the idea of a lot of different things, or they're completely closed off to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're either convinced of they're convinced that the orbs are real, which are the people I like to call orbophiles, or they understand that they're not, and so. It's, you know, but you don't find a lot of people swinging back and forth. You don't. I have a hard time convincing orbophiles that their orbs are not real any more than I have a hard time convincing people that, you know, who may, you know, encounter one of these spirit boxes that, you know, the chance is there for fraud, and it's very easily done fraud. I mean, even when I have a friend who was just entranced with these things. And I said, well, that's great, you know, but I want you to read this article, you know, as food for thought. You know, I'm not saying that there's fraud going on. I just want you to be aware of the possibility here. Yeah, thanks for the article. That's really interesting. It was too bad what that guy was doing back in the 1950s. I think you missed my point. But,
yeah,
you know, so I don't know. We'll see. You know, we'll see if it does spark any debate. You know what? If nothing else, I hope that the book continues to be, you know, something worthwhile for people who want to get into ghost hunting or are already ghost hunting and are, you know, looking for some new ideas or whatever. I really hope that that's what it continues to do. That'll make me happy.
And it sounds like with each revision, it's raising the bar, and I absolutely love that.
I just think there's a need for it, and there's a need for the updating, you know. Because, you know, unfortunately, I've got several books that I've written, you know, a number of years ago that, you know, I later found out, you know, a different version of a story or, you know, more about a haunted place. And it's like, well, I really need to do a revision of that book. But, man, you know, there's always so much time in the day.
Yeah,
you know,
so much stuff happens, though.
Yeah.
In this field,
yeah.
So much stuff happens because, I mean, 6 years ago when we started this show, I'm sure I could listen to something that my stupid mouth threw out 6 years ago.
That makes no sense.
That I would go now and go, my God, who was that ugly person on the microphone that day? it comes to revision. And, you know, luckily, I guess in an audio medium, it's easier to correct yourself than in written books. So you do have your work cut out for you.
Well, I want to remind everybody, the 2007 Haunted America Conference is June 22nd and 23rd.
Oh, yeah, man.
haunted Lincoln Theater, and I can attest to that because I heard the crashing of the thing. I did get touched in the back of the neck. Come
Troy,
talk to me,
Troy's
at
this conference for us anyways. We know that.
That's true.
Yeah.
In Decatur, Illinois, Troy Taylor and AG, you know, AGS, American Ghost Society, are the hosts, and I have to say, I just cannot wait. The guest list, the speaker list.
Yeah, less than a week away. Yeah.
Evidently, there's like just very few passes left. So the website is hooked up on the Ghostly Talk site. I know.
Oh,
that,
of course.
I
saw there's a banner over on our events section. Just click on that guy. I'll take you right to where you need to go.
And of course, if you just go to PrairieGhosts.com, which is in everybody's bookmarks.
Links, bookmarks, whatever you name it.
So Prairie Ghosts, and you'll be able to link up to the Haunted America Conference 2007. I want to see everybody there.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now. Don't hate the media, become the media.